Building a golf course is hard work. Building one in a country where course construction is against the law is even harder work, and that's one of several challenges Dan Washburn explores in his new book, The Forbidden Game, Golf and the Chinese Dream. Dan Washburn, welcome to Only a Game.
Thanks for having me.
How did it happen that the construction of golf courses came to be forbidden in China?
Well, the most recent moratorium on golf course construction came about in 2004. Beijing issued a ban on it, citing an out-of-control real estate market and the illegal seizure of farmland, both very valid concerns. But what they did was they instituted this ban and, in effect, turned their backs and let this thing that they were supposedly trying to stop grow even more out of control. So in 2004, according to state media, China had around 176 golf courses. Since the moratorium went into effect, no other country has built more golf courses than China. And right now there's anywhere between 600 and 1,000. No one knows exactly how many because it was so unregulated. A few years ago, the government started looking at satellite photos to try to get a handle on the number of golf courses in the country.
Well, you say officials turned their back, but they sort of turned their back and then stuck their hands out behind their back, right? Because there was some corruption involved in the building of these courses.
Yeah, more than some. So, I mean, there's the disconnect between Beijing and the local governments out in the provinces. There's an old saying, the mountain is high and the emperor is far away. It kind of sums up this situation. So the local governments, in many cases, they actually wanted this kind of development. They thought that a golf course would attract business, would attract a well-heeled clientele. But perhaps most important, the local governments wanted these land-hungry developments because they're the ones that own the land, and they profit mightily from these land deals. That's where a lot of the tensions arise because the villagers who may have to give up some of this land know that the government is lining its pockets and they're getting a very small percentage.
Just 3 weeks ago, the PGA Tour China held its last event of 2014. To what extent has that become a popular event in the country?
I think it's more important for the development of Chinese golfers than it is for the development of Chinese fans of the game. And when I say Chinese golfers, I'm not talking about recreational golfers. Now that golf is an Olympic sport, we all know that China is more than a little crazy about Olympic medals. Mm-hmm. The government is starting to pay some attention to the game, and they want to get as many Chinese golfers competing in the Olympics as possible. The way you do that is by attaining world ranking points, and the only way you can do that is by competing on international tournaments. So the PGA Tour in China, it's a way that PGA can get its foot in the door in a market they view as the next big thing. But for China, it's a way for golfers to earn these valuable world ranking points and get their names on the Olympic radar.
You have written that Chinese politicians would register at golf courses, I gather, for their tee times using fake names. Does that still go on?
I would say golf is even more politically taboo today than it was when I started writing the book. For a government official to be tied to the game in a public manner would earn the label of being corrupt. And in today's political climate in China, you know, there's a big corruption crackdown going on. So I would say, you know, you might see even fewer Chinese officials registering under fake names these days because of the tense situation that's happening there.
There's a great story in The Forbidden Game about how a peasant turned golf course security guard took up the game of golf. Tell us about Zhou Shunshu, and don't leave out the first time he hit a golf ball.
Yeah, I think Zhou is really the ultimate underdog. And his inspiring story is really at the heart of the book. He grew up in a very poor mountain village. He gets a job as a security guard at a golf course, but he was forbidden to play because he was a lowly security guard. So he devised, kind of in secret, a way that he could try this game. And the moment that you mentioned, he was at the driving range at the golf club that he worked at and the upper staff of the golf club. They were trying to hit this ball over the 225-yard marker at the end of the driving range, and nobody could do it. Joe was watching on, as he often did, and he said, "Hey, can I have a try?" And imagine, this is his first time ever hitting a golf ball. but he reared back and swung. He hit nothing the first three times, and people were starting to jeer him. And he focused all of his energy, reared back and swung, and it went long and straight and went over the hill. And from then on, he thought, maybe I can do something in this game.
Joe started playing with golf balls that he found in the woods and with discarded clubs that he had to rebuild. You watched him play a good deal for this book. How good has he become?
Well, you know, at his prime, he was one of the top 20 golfers in China, which is remarkable for a guy who came from where he did. He rose to be among the best of his generation.
Your book has been characterized as going well beyond golf. How did the sport present you with the opportunity to explore the contradictions in contemporary China?
Technically, 0% of the Chinese population plays golf. But the rise of golf is a barometer for China's economic growth. But it's also a topic that allows you to discuss other issues very important to modern China. Rural land rights disputes, the kind of Wild West scenario that surrounds it, the gap between rich and poor, plenty of corruption and political intrigue. And then in the case of each one of the men featured in my book, it shows how these new developments in a changing China can, for some, be a vehicle for them to try to attain at least one definition of what may be known as the Chinese dream.
Dan Washburn is the author of The Forbidden Game, Golf and the Chinese Dream, and he joined me from NPR's New York Bureau. Dan, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you so much.